Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, and lead all souls to heaven, especially those who have most need of thy mercy. Our Lady of the Rosary,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Fatima,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Amen. Thanks to all of you for coming out today. We do have some more chairs over here if anybody needs on this side, any late comers. And I'm certainly not an expert on the Fatima apparitions, but I do have a connection to the Fatima apparitions in that I was baptized on October the 13th, 1963, in Fatima Church. So October the 13th is the anniversary of the miracle of the sun. And this is in the latest Acadiana Catholic, has a great article in there and a timeline of all the history of it. But this is the stained glass window over the baptismal font in Fatima Church. It's the depiction of the miracle of the sun. So I was baptized underneath that in 1963 on that anniversary of the miracle of the sun. Had my first communion there at Fatima Church as well, and I was later ordained by St. John Paul II, who is intimately connected with the Fatima miracle and apparitions, and he would ordain me a priest on June the 10th, 1990 in St. Peter's Basilica. And now there is a statue of Pope St. John Paul II in Fatima Church in Lafayette. My schoolmate, Father Michael Russo, the pastor there now, I was with him in seminary college, a year behind him, and a year behind him in Rome, North American College, and he ordered that statue placed there. So who would have thought this Lafayette boy baptized right there at Fatima Church, that the statue of the bishop, pope that would ordain him a priest would be in that very church. So just all sorts of neat little connections there. And this Saturday at 8 a.m., we're going to have a special mass for the exact anniversary, 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima at Sacred Heart Church. Everybody's invited, spread the word. And we're going to do a chaplet of Divine Mercy before the Mass, and then I'll lead us in a rosary after the Mass in front of the statue of Our Lady of Fatima that we have in our church that's been there for, I guess, 50, 60 years. I think Monsignor Bourgeois, it might have been obtained under his pastorate there. And we'll have a consecration to her Immaculate Heart, as our Blessed Mother has certainly asked for, reparation for all of the sins of humanity and against our Lord, our God, and against her Immaculate Heart as well. So there is a new book coming out. I've just placed an order for it by Paul Kingar, entitled A Pope and a President, subtitled John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, and the Extraordinary Untold Story of the 20th Century. And he catalogs in there how the KGB was definitely behind the assassination attempt of Pope St. John Paul II on the anniversary, May the 13th, 1981, of the first anniversary of that first apparition there at St. Peter's Square. My brother was in the seminary there in Rome at the time, and he rushed down with many other seminarians to the square. It was, I think, a Wednesday, a papal audience day, and they prayed for his salvation, for his health, his recovery, and everything. So, Fatima, why that name? It was the town in Lisbon, Portugal, and we'll show you some pictures later. It was named after a princess with that name who had converted to Catholicism. A Muslim princess was married to a Catholic, became Catholic herself, and so the town was named after her. But she was named after, many years before, the daughter, the favorite daughter of Mohammed, and her name was Fatima. So it was very interesting that where this apparition of Our Lady took place, under that title of the name of Fatima, which has this connection with the Muslim faith, and the Muslims love Our Lady of Fatima. As you know, they are dedicated to our Blessed Mother. One of the chapters of the Quran is about her. So a very interesting connection there. And of course, this Saturday, Pope Francis will be in Fatima, and he will canonize Blessed Jacinta and Blessed Francisco, the two early visionaries, the two that died not long after the visions. Lucia lived much longer, and her process is starting. But so on this 100th anniversary, how beautiful that two of the visionaries will be canonized saints by Pope Francis. So the historical context, and I'm certainly not an expert on all of this, but if anybody needs to correct me, go ahead. Some of y'all might be experts on it. But the historical context of Portugal in 1917 was that there was a great anti-Catholic government in control there. And thousands of nuns, priests, and monks had already been killed by anti-Christian groups, and it had Masonic connections and all these anti-clerical connections to the government. And they had, however, allied with the Allies during the war. The war was going on, and this is 1917. And so that was very difficult for this country. And the angel had appeared first to Lucia and to other friends, not Jacinta and Francisco yet. Lucia with some of her other friends were out in the summer of 1916 tending their flocks, and an angelic figure appeared to them three times, didn't say anything. Later, Lucia was with Francisco and Jacinta in that year of 1916, and the angelic figure appeared again three times and spoke to them and asked that the children pray and sacrifice for sinners. And he said, "I am the guardian angel of Portugal." And because you know that there's an angel dedicated to every institution, not only every country, but every state, every town, every home, and so forth, and then our personal guardian angels as well. And he informed them that Jesus and Mary had plans of mercy for them. And on the last visit, he gave them a mystical Holy Communion. And so that was in 1916, so a whole year before the apparitions of our Blessed Mother started, the angel had already been appearing to them and preparing them. Then on May the 5th, 1917, not many people know this, but Pope Benedict the 15th, not 16th, but Pope Benedict the 15th, wrote a pastoral letter to the whole world. And he asked that all of the faithful would pray to our Blessed Mother for an end to World War I that was still raging on, right? And so that was May the 5th. 8 days later, our Blessed Mother starts her apparition. So many of these things have been in response to a petition of a pope. And she said she appeared on this first time, May the 13th, 1917, as the lady dressed all in white, more brilliant than the sun, on top of a small tree in an open field called the Cova de Iria, which means the Cove of Peace. And it was in the countryside of the small but faithful town of Fatima, and she asked that the children come back to that same spot on the 13th day of the next month. And so that did happen. She said that, "I am of heaven." They asked her, what is your name? The children asked her, what is your name? Or Lucia did. And our Blessed Mother said, "I am of heaven." And they asked if they would all go to heaven. And she said, yes, all three of you will go to heaven, but Francisco will have to pray many rosaries before he can get there. There was two girls and one boy, so that's, I don't know what that says about us men. We're going to have to pray harder, right? The second apparition took place on June the 13th. And this time there were dozens of onlookers who had heard about the first one and wanted to see something. And she showed the children only her Immaculate Heart, pierced with thorns representing the sins of mankind. So if you see the statue at Sacred Heart dedicated to our Blessed Mother, it is the statue of Our Lady of Fatima with her heart and surrounded by the thorns piercing her. Lucia asked that Mary would heal one of the sick persons, and she said it will be granted with his conversion. And she told Lucia that Jacinta and Francisco would die soon, but that Lucia would stay some time longer on earth. Sometime meant until 2005. So you know, these kinds of apparitions and numbers can be deceiving, right? She said, Jesus wishes to make use of you to make me known and loved. He wants to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. I promise salvation to those who embrace it, and those souls will be loved by God like flowers placed by me to adorn his throne. So that's a beautiful image, right? All of us as flowers around the throne of God. Third apparition. The great secret is given, July the 13th, and Lucia divided the secret into three parts. Lucia did that herself, and this was slowly revealed to the public over time. Two parts were revealed in 1941, 42, and the rest was revealed not until the year 2000, when I'm sure most of you were watching TV on EWTN, when it was revealed when those two children were beatified by John Paul II. Mary told the children to pray the rosary daily, and she also asked the children to help sinners. She said, "Sacrifice yourself for sinners and say many times, especially whenever you make some sacrifice, say it this way, 'O my Jesus, it is love for thee, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary.'" So we can all do that in our sacrifices and our prayers. We do this for you, Lord Jesus. We do this for your Blessed Mother. We'll talk a little bit more about the secrets in depth. The fourth apparition involved a kidnapping. So in August, the mayor, who was a high Mason and an apostate Catholic, was very suspicious of all of these crowds and this Catholicism, and so he put together a ruse to get the parents and the children together, and then he got rid of the parents, dropped them off somewhere, and brought the kids to a bigger town nearby, and bribed them, and then with threats of death by burning them in oil, threatening to lock them in a cell with criminals, and the children never recanted their stories, and they were like 12 years old, 10 and 9, something like that at that time, so very young, but they would not recant their story, and finally the mayor had to bring them back to their parents after 2 days. But Mary didn't get to appear to them on that 13th, but she appeared briefly to the children a few days later, I think it was on the 19th of that month, and asked them once again to come back the next month on the 13th. So the fifth apparition, people saw a pillar of clouds and showers of flowers. Some individuals saw that and were certainly impressed with that. And the final apparition, of course, she predicted that there would be this great miracle that would take place at the final October the 13th apparition. And so there were 70,000 people there on October the 13th, 2017. And a rain had been falling from the night before on the 12th up through the time of the apparition on the 13th. So everything was muddy. And there, this is a plowed field that they were in. And our Blessed Mother did come and appear to the children. She repeated her quest for daily rosaries and asked that a chapel be built on the site honoring Our Lady of the Rosary. So she revealed her title as Our Lady of the Rosary. She promised that the war would soon end and that the soldiers would return home. But she said people must amend their lives and ask pardon for their sins. Then she disappeared, and then she reappeared to the children with Saint Joseph and with the child Jesus. And then she came again as under different titles, Our Lady of Sorrows and Our Lady of Mount Carmel as well. Now finally the sky cleared, and that's when the miracle of the sun took place. The miracle of the sun took place. It was in its normal orbit. People could look at it directly and it didn't burn their eyes, so they were surprised. And then it came out of its normal place. It was high, solar noon, so it was 1:30 p.m. actually, solar noon. And it came out of its regular place and started dancing around, and different colors were being thrown around, and but then it was coming perilously close to them. Everybody thought they were going to die. They thought it was the end of the world. And 70,000 people saw this. We'll see a picture of the crowd in a minute. And so many, many were converted right there on the spot. Even the communist newspaper had to write an article about it. You can't ignore 70,000 people experiencing something like this, right? And then the sun went back to its regular place, and they were miraculously dry. They were soaking wet. And then all of a sudden, they were dry from this miracle. So let's talk about the secrets of Fatima that everybody is so interested in. Lucia was advised at the time of the first apparition to learn how to read. The children were illiterate, but she was advised to learn how to read so that she could be the messenger of to the rest of the world, which she dutifully started doing. So the first secret on July the 13th, 1917, was accompanied by a terrifying vision of hell, first described by Lucia in her third memoir in 1942. She said, Our Lady showed us a great sea of fire, which seemed to be under the earth. Plunged in this fire were demons and souls in human form, like transparent burning embers, all burnished brown, bronze, floating about in the conflagration, now raised into the air by the flames that issued from within themselves, together with great clouds of smoke, now falling back on every side like sparks in a huge fire, without weight or equilibrium, and amid shrieks and groans of pain and despair which horrified us and made us tremble with fear. Imagine us experiencing that. These were just little children experiencing this. The demons could be distinguished by their terrifying and repulsive likeness to frightful and unknown animals. This vision lasted but an instant. And she went on to say, how could we ever be grateful enough to our kind Heavenly Mother who had already prepared us by promising in the first apparition to take us to heaven? Otherwise, I think we would have died of fear and terror. And Our Lady told them, you have seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. If you do what I shall tell you, many souls will be saved and there will be peace. That was the first apparition. The second, or the first secret. Second secret was a prophecy. Our Blessed Mother said, the war is about to end, but if men do not cease to offend God, there will begin a worse one in the pontificate of Pius XI. And what was that but World War II, right? Apparently humanity had not repented enough. The punishment of the world is at hand for its so great sins by means of war, famine, and persecutions directed against the Church and the Holy Father. To prevent this, I shall come to ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart and the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays of the month for 5 in a row. If my demands are listened to, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. Otherwise, Russia will spread her errors throughout the world. Many good men will be martyred. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me. She will be converted and there will be peace. So here, World War II predicted, and we know that that happened. And then we know that eventually Russia was consecrated. Of course, 1917, communism was just starting to come about, right? Marx and Lenin spreading these ideas, and it's just starting to come about in Russia with the Bolshevik revolution. And so those errors were spread around the world. And different popes did consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart. Pope Pius XII did it, I think, in 1942. He was ordained a bishop on the first day of the first apparition date. So May the 13th, 1917, Pius XII was ordained a bishop, became pope later. And he did consecrate Russia, but it was not accepted. It had to be enough bishops around the world in union with him to do that. And so it was finally done by John Paul II in 1982. That was not accepted yet. 1984, March 25th, was the date that John Paul II did consecrate Russia again, and enough bishops in the world were in union with him doing it, so that Lucia herself said it has been accepted by heaven. And the proof is in the pudding. 1989 started the fall of communism, starting with Poland, John Paul II's native land, and then many of the other Eastern communist countries that started to fall, and so even Russia, and now, you know, the Church, the Orthodox Church particularly, is very free in Russia, even the Catholic Church to a degree, and others as well. So she did ask for those first 5 Saturdays of reparation, you have to have the intention of reparation to her Immaculate Heart with confession, communion, and the prayers for the Holy Father. And she also, and then also in 1929, Our Lady appeared to her and specifically asked for the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart. Lucia had entered, the two children had died already like a year or two after the apparitions, Jacinta and Francisco. Lucia entered the convent of the Dorothean nuns, and it was there that Our Blessed Mother appeared to her again. Also in 1925, Our Blessed Mother asked for the reparatory communions, and she said, behold, my daughter, my heart surrounded with the thorns with which ungrateful men continually pierce it by their blasphemies and their ingratitude. She said, you at least try to console me. And for my part, I promise to assist at the hour of death with the graces necessary to salvation all those who on the first Saturday of 5 consecutive months shall go to confession, receive communion, say 5 decades of the rosary, and keep me company during a quarter of an hour, meditating the mysteries of the rosary with the intention of offering reparation to me. And so there were some other revelations then while she was in the convent, and then later on, Lucia would enter the Carmel in Coimbra. I think that was always her desire, was to, because there were too many people were able to come and see her in the Sisters of St. Dorothy convent, because it was an active convent, religious order, so she wanted to go to the discalced Carmelites, where she would be more protected and have more of a prayer life, and so that indeed happened. Now, Lucia fell gravely ill in 1943, so the bishop of Leiria, where she was worried that the secrets, which had not been publicized, at least the third secret, that it would be lost. So he had her write it down, which she tried to do it, but she couldn't. It was like Satan was preventing her from doing it until our Blessed Mother appeared to her again and gave her strength, and she was able to immediately write it down and put it in a sealed envelope. And she asked that it not be open until 1960. It was opened in August of 1959 by Pope, now Saint John the 23rd, but he chose not to reveal its contents. It was not revealed until June of 2000, when I'm sure most of you were watching EWTN when the Holy Father was there. And this is what it says for the third secret. At the left of Our Lady and a little above, we saw an angel with a flaming sword. It gave out flames that looked as though they would set the world on fire, but they died out in contact with the splendor Our Lady radiated towards him from her right hand, pointing to the earth with his right hand. The angel cried out in a loud voice, "Penance, penance, penance." In the second scene, there's a terrible catastrophe that befalls the world. And then she says, "We saw an immense light that is God, and then a bishop dressed in white. We had the impression it was the Holy Father. Other bishops, priests, men and women, religious, going up a steep mountain at the top of which there was the big cross. Before reaching there, the Holy Father passed through a big city, half in ruins and half trembling with halting step, afflicted with pain and sorrow." The halting step makes you think of John Paul II when he had the Parkinson's disease, right? "Afflicted with pain and sorrow, he prayed for the souls of corpses he met on his way. Having reached the top of the mountain, on his knees and at the foot of the big cross, he was killed by a group of soldiers who fired bullets and arrows at him. And in the same way, there died the other bishops, priests, men and women, religious, and various lay people of different ranks." The third scene depicts the return of humanity to God. Then she continues, "Beneath the two arms of the cross, there were two angels, each with a crystal aspersorium, in which they gathered up the blood of the martyrs, and with it sprinkled the souls that were making their way to God." And so ended that vision. And she was not given the interpretation of it. Our Blessed Mother did not give an interpretation of the vision to Lucia or to the children. Cardinal Ratzinger did give an interpretation, saying that it represented the 20th century and all those 100 million or souls that were killed in the wars and under the communists as well. And that some of it was that could be prevented by their prayers and so forth. John Paul II believed that message referred to him, that message referred to him specifically. And when he was shot on May the 13th, 1981, by the Turkish gunman Mehmet Ali Akka, and Mehmet said, "I'm a trained assassin, I shoot to kill, I know how to kill," something happened. And John Paul II said, "It was the Blessed Mother who guided the bullet. One hand fired the gun, but another hand guided the bullet." And so he was saved by Our Blessed Mother, was his interpretation. And so Cardinal Ratzinger said that the third secret also referred to other popes from Pius X all the way to John Paul II. But also part of the secret was that my Immaculate Heart will triumph. So it ends with a joyful or a hopeful kind of a sign. My Immaculate Heart will definitely triumph. So that is good news for us. Interesting that Ronald Reagan and John Paul II were shot with less than 2 months from each other, right, in 1981. And Lucia and John Paul II died less than 2 months from each other in the year 2005. First Lucia and then John Paul II was in April. So that connection between all of those persons. I think now, Nick, we can do the slideshow and we'll move this so everybody can see. Nick put this together, so this is all his work, beautiful work, putting together some slides that we can all look at, and he can help me with the ones that I forget. So just in case you were wondering where exactly Portugal is, here we are in Europe, France, Spain, and Portugal, carved out of that land of Spain. There's Fatima, pretty much in the middle, north and south of that country. The oldest of the three Fatima visionaries, Lucia, is in the center there, Jacinto on the right, Francisco on the left. Witness those apparitions, 1917, a close-up, Lucia on the left. Then I think it's an artist interpretation of how our Blessed Mother appeared standing on that little tree, little bush. A real picture there of the three children. And Jacinta had to be carried away by her father because of the crowds just pushing in on her and crushing her. The parents later on. The sun miracle, 70,000 people, you can see the crowds all the way up the hill. O Século was the communist newspaper in Portugal, and there's the article itself, close-up of it, mentioning the miracle of the sun, the milagro. Those are actual pictures there. An artist's interpretation of what the sun looked like spinning around. And then some actual photos here on the left and then enhanced on the right that somebody caught in a photograph. So just Francisco died in 1919, just less than 2 years later. And just into the 1920. Shows you her name, Sister Mary Lucia of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And Pius XII had some kind of a vision of Our Lady of Fatima as well.
It was leading to his definition of Immaculate Conception.
The Immaculate Conception. Was it the Assumption?
The Assumption. 1950. Right, the Assumption. Mm-hmm. He confirmed for him that it was the time, so he took that as a sign that it was time to do the definition.
Yeah, the Pope was preparing and wanting to declare infallibly Mary's Assumption, body and soul, into heaven, and maybe he wasn't quite sure yet, and then Our Lady of Fatima appeared to him, so he took that as the sign that he could do it. Of Pius XII. In 1946, we crowned Our Lady of Fatima as Queen of the World, and the next year, through her pilgrim statue, she set forth as though to claim her dominion, and the favors she performs along the way are such that we can hardly believe what we are seeing with our eyes. Blessed Paul VI with Sister Lucia, the statue of Our Lady of Fatima. That's the statue with the hands closed. The other one, like we have, is the one with the hands out. But going back, yeah, going back here is John Paul II, May the 13th, 1981, so 64 years after the first apparition. And there's the hand holding the gun that shot him. There was an American woman, I think, on the other side of the Jeep that got one of the bullets. The Pope had just put down a little baby. You know, he'd always pick him up and kiss him, and he'd just put the baby down when Mehmet shot him. They brought the Pope, I think, right to Holy Spirit Hospital, Santo Spirito, which was built in the 16th century, and the medicine is still probably in that time era. So they immediately brought him to the university hospital. After that, you got to pray to the Holy Spirit to get well in that particular hospital. So here, John Paul II, Sister Lucia, they met a number of times, spoke together. She did say, you know, having accepted the 1984 consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary of the whole world, implicitly including Russia. And so she did say it was accepted. And there's the bullet that he had placed. He went back the next year and the doctor had taken the bullet out of his body and he placed that bullet in her crown at Fatima. And there's the shrine. There's a little chapel built here, I think on the very spot where it had taken place. And then this the beautiful basilica built. I've been there one time, a couple of us are going there. June the 5th, 6th, 7th, around there. That's the little chapel, the glass chapel. And there's the small little chapel.
I think that's the one that's built over the spot.
Built over the spot where it actually took place, over where the little tree was. Benedict the 16th. Francis. Francis consecrated the entire world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary in 2013, so I guess that was his first year, not long after he was made Pope. And now the two youngest ones will be canonized saints on the exact 100th anniversary. And then she died February 2005. Very good. Thank you, Nick, for putting those pictures. Let's give Nick a warm round of applause. Thank you, Nick. Well, I thought we could leave a little time for a question and answer. And if anybody has any questions you'd like to ask.
How did the children die?
Influenza. The Spanish influenza was raging, probably also part of the war, after the war. That, you know, how they have plagues during wars and things like that. But they got the Spanish influenza, and they both died of it. Yeah, so thousands and thousands and thousands of people died from that. Anybody else? Everybody shy with a big crowd? There we go. Tim.
Why do you think there's so much controversy about the third secret? Everybody's always trying to manipulate it one way or the other.
Father Tom, can you repeat the question in case not everybody...
Yeah. Question is about the third secret and why is there so much controversy about it? And definitely, since it was so apocalyptic in its nature, that certainly leads to a lot of different interpretations and interest in it, you know. And so, and then you know, there are those who say that the consecration was not accepted. But Lucia herself said that it had been accepted, and you had the fall of communism in those countries. Now, could it come back or something? I don't know. But she said there would be a period of peace, you know. So, but I think just because of the nature of it, and since there was no official interpretation given, so it is open to different interpretations. And it's, you know, it did say that the Pope was killed, you know. John Paul II wasn't killed. Benedict said that it didn't have to be fulfilled in that way, that the prayers could prevent some of these things from happening. So, different ways of looking at it. Good question.
Was the third secret totally revealed?
Was the third secret totally revealed? Sister Lucia said yes. Everything has been revealed as it was read in the year 2000. And she died 5 years later. She said everything has been revealed. Nothing's been held back.
I know when I was a small boy, and they talk about the third secret, the reason why we all, they tell us that the world was going to end. She had said the time the world was going to end. That's what we were worried about.
People thought that the world was going to end, that was part of the third secret, but that was not in it. But some interpretations by people, right?
You mentioned about the apparition. Can you go over that again?
About the
apparition.
Oh, the assumption of Mary, body and soul into heaven, you know, not fully defined until the year 1950, but believed by many throughout the history of the church and seen certainly by the apostles, at least according to some private revelations. So, you know, Mary was not touched by original sin, so she didn't need to die. So we do call it the dormition of Our Lady, the sleeping of Our Lady. Now, she could have died, because Jesus didn't need to die. He did, of course. So, but the church has never defined that, whether she died or not. But definitely her body did not experience any kind of corruption, because she had no original sin. The pain of original sin is death, and then corruption of the body. So, appropriate that she would be assumed, body and soul, into heavenly glory. And that's what the Pope took away all doubt by infallibly defining it in the year 1950. Only two infallible, extraordinary infallible definitions by popes. The first one, 1854, for the Immaculate Conception of Our Blessed Mother, said that she was conceived without original sin, and then 1950 for the Assumption of Mary, body and soul. So only two times that the extraordinary, infallible teaching authority of the Pope has been used in that way. Ordinary infallibility is different. When the Pope says Jesus rose from the dead, obviously that's part of the ordinary infallibility of the teaching of the Church. So the two special ones have been done regarding Our Blessed Mother. Because you have to do it only for things that have doubt. Those are the things that have doubt connected with them that are not clearly marked in Scripture. Oh, the book of Revelation talks about the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and the crown of 12 stars. And so many have seen that as Our Blessed Mother, body and soul in heaven. Very good.
The message for us is to repent.
Yeah, what's the relevance today? Is it all finished because we're in the 21st century? No. Definitely continue praying daily rosaries. We live in a crazy world, as we all know, watching the news. And so we do need to continue to have daily rosaries prayed and the five Saturdays and penance and sacrifices. The penances and sacrifices that were done by Francisco and Jacinta and Lucia were just incredible. I mean, they would not drink all day and they were out in the hot sun, and there's some things I wouldn't recommend for y'all. But we can all do more penance than what we do, I'm sure, and not hurt ourselves, right? So penance, prayer, sacrificing for sinners and ourselves and others, that message is still definitely relevant to our world today. And I just read a book about Sister Lucia, and it was beautiful. I got to really get to know her personality, that she liked to play practical jokes on the other nuns in her convent, you know, so it really brought out her personality. Yes. She was very lively and enjoyed playing jokes on them, and so there's still hope for Clarence. He can he likes to play jokes.
I've always found it interesting that, like, Saint Joan of Arc, Saint Bernadette, and these three children were all simple, poor people that did not have very much education. Mm-hmm. These were gigantic tasks that she was asking of these people, to move mountains, to let people know about this. And that always has fascinated me. How did they have how did they get anybody to listen to them?
Why did Our Blessed Mother appear to usually the illiterate, the poor, the simple children? And I guess because you realize it can't be coming from them. You know, they didn't have the smarts to make it up. Like when Bernadette said that Our Lady said that she is Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception, her pastor knew that she was not intelligent enough to know that term, which had only been recently declared by the Pope. You know, she wasn't literate. So I think it makes it more believable.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Beginning, you talked about the Muslim faith, about the devotion.
Right, to our Blessed Mother, yes.
I find that a little bit confusing, because if they have that devotion to her, but they don't recognize Christ as God.
Right.
So I don't understand.
So the question about the Muslim faith and how they do have that chapter in the Quran dedicated to Our Blessed Mother, which says she is the best of all women. And I think it does say they conceived without original sin, but they don't believe in Jesus as divine, but they do honor Jesus as a great prophet, but not the greatest. They would put Muhammad greater than Jesus, and of course not believing in the divinity of Jesus our Lord. So the question was about that Muslim faith, but they do have some attachment to them because, you know, Muhammad was in the 600s and Christianity had been around for those 600 years. So he was influenced already by Jewish theology, Christian theology, and of course claiming the common roots all the way back to Abraham. And we would be connected. Ultimately, we're all cousins by faith through Abraham. But obviously, he's got some things that are false in his teaching. I mean, to deny that Jesus is divine is a false teaching. But he was influenced by the faith that had surrounded him as well. So he knew some things about it. But some of it was heretical kind of Christian theology, even that he heard was influenced by, because this is so far away from the center of Europe, you know, where the Christian faith had been well implanted. But in some of those far-reaching areas, it was kind of shady, even Christian theology. So he was influenced by those things. But hopefully, Our Lady Fatima will be the salvation of all the Muslim peoples and their conversion to our Catholic faith.
You had said that in 2013, whoever was the Pope,
Francis,
the world, Francis, mm-hmm. to the Immaculate Heart.
Yes.
Okay. And then we dedicated Russia a couple of times, and then finally it took.
Because mm-hmm. they had to have enough. The question is, yeah. All these consecrations of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary in the world, why did it take? That's a good question. How do you consecrate the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary when so much of the world does not want to be consecrated to her? Well, it just has to depend on the faithful souls who do believe in her, that we can pray for the rest of the world. And our Blessed Mother can accept that. And that enough bishops were united with the Pope doing it in 1984, that the consecration of Russia was accepted, particularly Russia. And Russia had been a very strong Christian country, Orthodox faith, before the communist revolution.
I wanted to ask why the bishops would accept the Pope dedication to the Blessed Mother. Catholic, especially bishops, priests, and that have a special devotion to the Blessed Mother. Why would they reject the Pope's dedication until this time?
Yeah, the question is, why would not enough bishops be united with the Pope when he did it the first time, because they should all be dedicated to our Blessed Mother. Some were not. Some thought this apparition was just foolishness and false, and so, you know, they didn't believe in it. Some might not have liked the Pope at the time, so they didn't want to be joined with him. So that has happened. There have been some bishops who have. Another thing was communication with the rest of the world. Was it done well enough that they all knew at the same time and so forth? So that was part of the, and also mentioned in the article was that there were a lot of apparitions being reported. So like Rome was swamped by apparitions, and so they were very wary about this one that seemed to be the most extraordinary of all. So even Rome was very cautious and always is with apparitions.
The miracles associated with Fatima?
I'm not too familiar.
The Pope's assassination, obviously.
Right, the Pope being protected. I don't really know of.
You know, Lourdes has all this, the healings.
Right.
Is that sort of stuff going on at Fatima?
Yeah, they don't hear it talked about as much, and they don't have all the wheelchairs and the crutches on the walls and things like you do have at other places. So I'm really not familiar with the history of healings, but I'm sure for the beatifications and canonizations of Jacinta and Francisco that some healings were accepted.
I know when you go, they often there.
Okay.
And when you go, you can, they must have healings.
Yeah,
because
got
they to. Offer like candles, mm-hmm. So then when you buy candles, you can buy any part of the body in out anything of a, and dedicate that to say prayers to for healing. So I'm assuming, since it's so great with that, that they must have some healings, because I'm telling you, you can buy a brain, you can buy a kidney, you can buy an arm, a hand.
A candle.
On a candle? On a candle? Oh, it's a wax image of it.
It's a wax. It's a candle.
Yes.
And you place it, and there are prayers that are offered all the time. But because they offer so much of the body parts and stuff, I'm
sure.
Assuming they must have healing with all the prayers that are coming through.
Yes, all these pilgrimage spots have healings. That I'm just not familiar with them. I don't know if somebody else might be, but I'm not familiar with.
You can buy a candle of anything and a body.
Well, I'm going to go in June and I'm going to buy something. I'm going to burn it. All right. Catholic Charismatic. Oh, yeah. Lourdes has the miracles. Yeah, I took the bath at Lourdes and it was the most painful thing I'd ever experienced because it was like December 31st, freezing in Europe. And then I stepped in the water up to about half of my calf, and I thought it had turned to ice. And it was so painful. But then going totally underneath was different. It wasn't as painful. Yeah. You know, they don't give you a towel to dry off. You just drip dry kind of miraculously. It's strange. And this is Lourdes. We're talking about Lourdes now. Question. Now, it is 6:30, so if anybody needs to leave, feel free to leave, but if other people want to ask questions. First apparition, no. I mean, they go back to the 1200s for apparitions of our Blessed Mother. So Lourdes was before Fatima. Yeah, Lourdes was in 1858. And then Fatima, 1917. And they had other ones, La Salette, and now that one's probably after Fatima. But they've had other ones ever before. Thank you all for coming. Appreciate you. God bless you all. Come Saturday at 8 o'clock, well, a little bit before, 7:30 or so, we're going to start the chaplet. And Nick wants to close with a message.
Don't worry about the chairs. I'm going to take care of the chairs so y'all don't have to worry about the chairs. Thank y'all very much for coming. Let's give a round of applause for Father Voorhees. And if you can offer maybe a blessing before we go.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. May our Blessed Mother watch over you throughout this life and into eternity.
Amen.
Amen. God bless
Thank
you. Thank you all.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.